Warning, the following podcast may prove to be informative and educational, but it is guaranteed to be entertaining. Welcome to Trivial Warfare, the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. Now here's your host, Jonathan Oakes.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name's Jonathan, and boy, do I have a crowded house today. On my left, Mr. Ben Young, how are you today, my friend?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. It's good to have you here.
Always glad to be here, man.
Next to you is Carmella. Hello, Carmella.
Hello, boys.
How are you today?
Fine. How are you?
I am awesome. I'm so happy that you're here.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Next in Casa de Oaks is Mr. Chris Hollister. Hello, Chris.
It is good to be back at Trivial Warfare Studios.
That's right. So we have all three of you. We have a full freaking house. We also have a guest today.
It was so full that we had to get somebody outside the house so they wouldn't come in the house.
Today we have Mr. Matt Laird. Matt, how are you today?
I'm doing well, guys. Good
Matt,
to see y'all.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. You, my friend, are you a major or a captain? You're a major, aren't you?
Whatever the $25 level is.
You're a major, my friend. Everybody, round of applause for Mr. Matt Laird. Good job. Matt, where are you from? What do you do?
All right. So I'm from Glenview, Illinois. It's just north of Chicago in the suburbs. I teach at an alternative school. So school for kids with emotional and behavioral disorders.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Among other things. I do many other things as well.
Totally understood. I imagine that's a very rewarding rewarding type of work for you.
Mm-hmm. Can be draining both physically and emotionally, but man, is it worth it.
That's awesome. Congratulations and thank you for that. All right. So, guys, we had an awesome dinner earlier this week. We went to a place called Black Sheep here in Jacksonville.
Yep.
Yeah, it had different kinds of food, to say the least.
It was very fancy. Ben and I both had a steak called Diane.
Yep. And she was awesome.
She was. She was tasty.
About steak and Diane.
So this was our Christmas dinner for Trivial Warfare. And specifically what we were doing is I was taking you guys out to say thank you for all the hard work you've done this year. I truly appreciate it. And I said at the beginning, we had a toast at the beginning, and I pointed out that that dinner was possible because of the listeners and their support. So it was a very nice dinner. I think we all had a great time. And so I just want to say thank you to all the listeners who made that possible. And also thank you to you guys who have put in so much work over the last year to make this show what it is.
I just still want my dessert, man.
So Chris is like, can I get a dessert to go, Jonathan? Yes. I'm like, no.
Jonathan knows I have a surgically altered stomach that is smaller than most people's stomachs, and I get full very easily. I wanted it to go so that I can enjoy it another time when I was less full.
Well, I said no. Just you sit no. there until the next day.
Exactly. I could have had it for breakfast. The Trivial Warfare listeners could have let me have something for breakfast as well, and you denied it.
You're right. I denied it. I said
That's
no.
Terrible.
I said that was not classy.
That is terrible.
It's like Roger Goodell, man. It's
horrible.
Just blocking everything. No fun league.
That's right. Trivial Warfare equals no fun league.
Oh, gosh.
But in all seriousness, thank you very, very much for all the support that you've given us. And we're just so completely honored and grateful that so many of you have just decided to spend a little bit of your very, very hard-earned money to help us out. And for that, we're very grateful.
Absolutely. Speaking of that, I am going to talk a little bit of business, but not here at the beginning. Stick around for the end of the episode if you care at all about financials, because I am going to make at least one announcement at the end of the show today.
Don't forget to do that.
Thanks for the reminder.
You're welcome.
Hey, Jonathan, don't forget to do that.
Yeah, well... Ben.
Even Matt wrote it down.
I wrote it down too.
Nice. Ben, come on, man.
So that's my business. I'm a shareholder in this.
That's right.
I just put a shirt on Rambo that said business on it.
All right, guys. So without further ado, it is time to warm it up, Chris.
Warm it up, Chris.
I'm about to.
Warm it up, Chris.
That's what I was born into.
So, guys, this question comes from our buddy Lee, who actually was in the last episode giving the questions to Jonathan and the Jeopardy boys. And he wants to know what the top 10 dog names were for 2016.
The top 10 dog names as per what source?
From Rover.com.
Rover.com.
Yes, is asking you what the top 10 dog names are. And let's see, they have five male and five female.
Sounds good. Carmella, let's start with you.
Rex.
Rex, I'm sorry, is not on the list.
Wow.
They probably named their son Rex, though.
All right, Ben.
So there's a lot of names going through my head that I know are not correct. As a matter of fact, Jonathan and I had a conversation previously about people of a certain ethnicity and what names they give their dogs.
You got to go with what I think you're about to go with?
I'm going to guess dog is not on the list.
Are you? Is that your answer? Is dog?
No. Okay. I'm going to go with Spike.
Spike, I'm sorry, is not on the list either. Man. All right. So we're 0 for right now. Jonathan, can you get us out of the hole?
I'm going to guess Doug. I'm thinking about Up.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I was like, wow.
I have just met you and I love you.
I'm sorry. Doug is not on
That's
the list.
A darn shame.
I will tell you this. They're all human names. So it's not like Rover.
Okay.
Like Rover.com or Lassie. I don't think I've ever seen a human name not Lassie. All right. So, Matt, what do you got?
All right. So, yeah, kind of took the wind out of my sails with no non-human names.
I know. He gave you the hint and none of us.
Sorry. I had Spot and Rover written down. But now my next one was Jack. I'm going to go with Jack.
Jack is on the list. Well nice. Done, man. And also, that's in the top 10 baby names of 2016 as well.
Wow.
So,
good, interesting
all right.
overlap question.
Yeah, I know, right? All right, so Carmella, what do you got?
Oliver.
Oliver and Company, Oliver. Not on the list. Maybe cats, but this is for dogs. All right, what do you got for us, Ben? Nobody's going with female names either, by the way.
Let's go with Princess.
Princess is not on the list because, well, I guess there are humans named Princess, but
I've met people named Princess.
Okay, yes. I have not, so forgive me. All right, Mr. Oakes, what do you got?
I'm guessing Paris.
Paris Hilton, not on the list. All right. I don't think anybody wants to name their dog after her, dude.
Well, or I mean, they could do it after the city.
Yeah, it's a popular name. You know,
there was a Paris before Hilton came.
Or maybe the guy who, you know, helped start the Trojan War. Maybe it was that Paris.
Oh, wow. Way to go historical on us. All right, Matt, the only man that's gotten an answer so far. What do you got?
Let's see if I can keep that up. I'm not feeling optimistic. I'm going to go with Mike.
Mike, I'm sorry, is not on the list. All right, so we've gotten Jack so far, and that's it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, we've gotten Jack.
All right, we'll go one last round. And
that was great.
Okay, so Carmella, do you have an idea?
Lucy.
Lucy
that's the name of my hedgehog.
Is on the list.
Yay!
Well done. Well done. Where did that come from? And by the way, also on the top 10 baby names of 2016 as well.
Because at one point I wanted a Dalmatian, and if I got one, I was going to name it Lucy.
Okay.
So.
Well, all right. Ben, can you get on the list?
No.
Can you get on the board?
No? I don't have any idea, so I'm going to go with the original answer I think that Jonathan was expecting me to say. Definitely the number one name for dogs in the hood is King. That's definitely number one. So my answer is King.
All right. And I'm sorry, not on the list.
I knew that.
I cannot say that it's not a human name because that's my dad's middle name is King.
Well, shoot.
So,
yeah.
All right. So Jonathan, can you get on the board?
When Prince Fielder gets older, he's going to turn into a king.
Ah, ba-dum-bum.
King Hollister. I like that.
Hail to the king, baby.
I want to say something like A.A. Ron.
A.A. Ron.
Jack
Don't mess with me, A.A. Ron.
Jack Quillen. I'm going to guess Fifi.
Fifi, I'm sorry, not on the list.
Boo.
All right, so Matt, can you win the round by guessing a second name on the list?
Oh, man, it's a lot of pressure. I'm going to go back to a girl name, and since I already did Mike, I'll go with everybody's favorite CBS comedy and finish it out with Molly, I guess.
Molly, I'm sorry, is not on the list.
Ba-ba-ba-dum.
My mom's dog name is Molly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Actually, one of our friends' names is
friend's
name Molly.
Yeah.
So. On the list for females is Bella,
mm.
Lucy, which was gotten, Daisy, Lola, and Luna.
Wow.
A lot of Harry Potter fans out there. And then for male names, after Jack was Max, Charlie, Buddy, and finally Cooper.
Cooper?
Cooper.
Everybody names their dog after the not popular Manning.
And there nice. Wow, terrible. And there were six names on here that
it's
were
a good
also,
name for a lab.
There were six names on here that were the top baby names as well for 2016. Bella, Lucy, Luna, Max, Charlie, and Jack.
Max is a top baby name in
2016, yes, sir.
Wow. Yeah.
Max.
And that, my friends, is your warming up Chris question of the episode. Thank you, Lee.
Learn something new every day. All right, guys. So today's game is going to be two teams going head-to-head. It is Chris and Carmella versus Jonathan and Matt. It is time to play the game.
Time to play the game!
Here's how it works. Our game is six rounds long, three questions per round, and each question is worth 10 points. There will be a midpoint question after round three that's worth 20 points, and when we get to the final question at the end of the game, you will be able to wager any or all of what you've earned throughout the game. If you're playing along at home, you can pause the game after each question to give yourself a chance to think about it and answer before listening to us. All right, guys. Let's get started. All right.
Jonathan Ben. Finally needed to get some help in here for himself. He's on a bit of a losing streak, Matt. You know this, right?
I hadn't thought of it.
I don't get to see the ones that until they come out. It's probably a couple weeks from now I'll see the losing streak, right?
I know he's had it before. He's had it up till now on the show.
Yeah, I've been losing quite a bit recently. I hadn't thought of it like that. Everybody doesn't typically show up for the recordings all the same day. So it's like, okay, well, we got an extra person. What are we going to do?
Let's do it, Ben.
All right. Round one, question one. Your category is fashion.
Great.
Yeah.
What article of clothing is named after the island used as a U.S. bomb testing facility during World War II?
Hey, Matt, I'm on the same page as you are. In fact,
yeah, I got it 100%.
You have it written down?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to trust that we have the same answer, so we'll lock in. They can talk.
Okay. I think you're 100% right on what you wrote down, which was Capri. The Capri Islands?
Yeah, I did write down Capri. So, this is an article of clothing.
Yep.
Not a particular article of clothing that I like, but...
Fair enough.
You know, it is an article of clothing, so...
And also, the reason why I want to go with it is I think I've heard this question before, as a matter of fact, and I believe that this was the answer, so I'm feeling really confident. I'm pretty... about 95% confident in this.
Okay, Capri.
Locked in.
All right. Matt, we're going with what answer you wrote down, but I'm sure hoping it was bikini.
Yep, that's what I had. I had Capri. I scratched it out when he said bomb and put bikini.
Nice. We said bikini.
Correct answer is bikini.
Yes.
Bikini Atoll was the name of the island.
That was, honestly, Capri was my very first thought process on it. It is Capri Island, though, but I guess they were not bombed or anything like that, which is not the worst thing in the world.
No, they're over, Capri's over in the Mediterranean, so the U.S. wasn't going to bomb them. That would have been the start of something totally different.
A little bit.
Okay. Your next question in the round is in sports.
Sports!
And this is not a four major sports question.
Finally.
Finally. We ask a lot of non-four major sports questions lately. Yes.
When?
All the time.
Yes.
Like, seriously, it's like 50-50 nowadays.
We kept getting feedback that we had too many, so we started shifting those in. And also, when you started asking questions, we got a lot more of those questions too. So, sheesh.
So
I don't want to even hear it.
For reals.
We're going to go ahead and cue the frustrated introvert sigh. All right, here's the question.
That was well done, Ben.
Phil Ivey, Daniel Negreanu, and Phil Hellmuth are best known as top players in what sport?
Matt, I'm going to ask you to trust me because I'm certainly going to lock in.
I've got it too.
Okay, do you trust me?
Yeah, I trust you.
Okay, we're locked in.
All right, so I wrote down poker and Texas Hold'em.
Right.
I'm about 99% sure on that. What do you have you heard those names associated with that? Because I remember seeing World Series Poker.
I used to watch the World Series of Poker, so yeah, that sounds about right.
So if we say poker, can we lock in, or do you need us to be more specific?
You can lock in with poker if you want.
Okay. Yeah, I believe they're famous poker players, so locked in.
All right.
We certainly said poker.
Yep, my buddy Alex Jacob, Jeopardy Tournament of Champions, also knows those guys, I'm sure. He's a pro poker player.
He is a pro poker player, isn't he? Talk
he
about an interesting
my,
dude.
My pub trivia team.
Did he really?
Yep.
How about that?
Like Tuesday nights down in Chicago. We went to State, where you guys went sometimes.
Boy, that's a crowded place, man.
Yes, it is.
That was a cool game. Oh, right. So we definitely said poker.
Right? I was going to say, Ben.
It's cool. The correct answer is poker.
Nice. All right. We're on the board.
So poker, interestingly enough, there are a lot of younger guys that are playing and winning nowadays. And they found that a lot of the guys who are professional poker players now used to play another game called Magic the Gathering, which is a game that I used to play, but it just got way too expensive. And it's,
so they played poker to earn money to buy more Magic cards?
That's probably what they're doing.
That's what I would have done.
And that's,
Magic cards are expensive.
Yeah, you've got to have a lot of disposable income to play that game.
Wow. That's why I stopped playing it after high school.
Oh, my God.
They call it paper crack for a reason.
Wow.
I'm not going to go there. All right, your last question in the round is in TV. On Fox's Empire, what is the last name of the family that founded and mostly runs Empire Records?
I got beyond no freaking clue. I don't watch the show. I mean, if my sister was here, she'd be able to answer it in a heartbeat because she keeps whining about it on Facebook. But unless you have something that you want to, unless you have an answer, I'm tapping out because I have no clue.
I don't know.
Okay. So we're out.
Okay. Matt, I'm sure hoping you got something, my man.
I wrote down that the wife's name is Cookie.
Okay.
And
last name Sheets. Last
sure.
name Sheets. She's Cookie Sheets.
Cutter. Last name Cutter. That's a reasonable last name, actually.
So is Sheets. Ben sure. Sheets is an old pitcher.
I don't know. I mean, like, since we have no idea, got to say a name like Johnson, Smith.
If we're going to, it's an African-American family, so something like Jackson, perhaps?
That's a good one. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, Randy Jackson, musical family. Michael Jackson. All
let's
right.
do Jackson.
Let's do that. We'll say Jackson.
All right. The correct answer is Lion. L-Y-O-N. Lion.
Oh. Ah. We got nothing.
I mean, if I had to meet a lion, a cookie lion would be all right.
Sounds like a Sesame Street character.
Yep, probably is. Cookie Lion. All right, so your score at the end of round one, CNC Music Factory has 10, and MJ has 20.
All right.
MJ, I like that.
I'm trying to switch it up.
Nice.
All right, so your second round begins with a question in cartoons. What 90s superhero was created by Ted Turner and has recently been spoofed by Don Cheadle?
Yep, we're locked in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was writing the exact same thing. I was starting to write the same thing. You're just faster at it than I am.
All right, Matt. So read the question again, Ben.
Was it created by?
What 90s superhero was created by Ted Turner and has recently been spoofed by Don Cheadle?
So it's Ted Turner, which means you're thinking TBS, TNT, one of those channels. Cartoon is the category.
And something that's worth spoofing, too.
And Don Cheadle's an African-American guy.
Right.
So you could throw that in there, possibly.
Black superhero that was created for the 90s, which was...
I was thinking, the first thing I thought of was like Johnny Bravo, but
that's Cartoon Network.
Right.
That's not really a superhero. Oh, man. Created by Ted Turner.
Spoofed doesn't mean played. Spoofed means, I mean, you're imitating and picking on.
So I don't think it inherently has to be a African-American.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. What kind of cartoons were coming on TBS or TNT or any of the, I mean, Turner owned a lot of stuff. Did Turner own Cartoon Network?
It's a possibility.
Created by Ted Turner?
Yeah, that's weird. Maybe is it not like a typical cartoon show cartoon? Is
Maybe.
It something like an advertising icon?
I was just about to say, what about the who is or what is it? The mascot from the 96 Olympics.
Oh, Izzy? Izzy the what's it?
But that's not going to be it.
Well, wait, hold on a second. He's not a superhero, though, but I was going to say that's in Atlanta, which is like home of Ted Turner.
Oh, yeah, that's why I was going with it.
Oh, man.
Anything with the Braves? I mean, the Braves.
Like Chief Nakahomer.
Right?
Not a superhero.
Homer the Brave?
just racist.
They got it fast, too.
They did get it fast. Scary. That means something we should be knowing.
Yeah, it's something that's probably pretty popular.
We're going to totally slap ourselves in the head.
The Don Cheadle thing. What's Don Cheadle on nowadays? What's he doing? I know he was Rhodey in the Iron Man movies.
Yeah.
And the answer's not War Machine.
No. Not a spoof. It's got to be something like that was really bad that is able to be spoofed.
Did he do like Dino Mutt or something like that? Is there a Blue Falcon? Crap.
Yeah, man. We're going to have to throw a guess out there. And I don't
What about the Tick?
Oh, okay. Now we're getting somewhere. But it's almost something you can't spoof because it's a spoof in itself.
Yeah, but you can still spoof it. I mean, it's better than nothing that I got right now.
Yeah, I mean, let's go for it.
All right, we'll say the Tick.
So fire, earth, wind, water, and heart. Go planet, Captain Planet.
Yes.
Oh.
That's absolutely created by Ted Turner.
Oh. Answer's Captain Planet.
Yes.
There's absolutely no...
I watched it all the time.
Yeah. Me too.
So did I.
Did you really? There's no reason why I would have gotten it. I never once saw a single episode.
You never watched Captain Planet? Well, that's because you were never a child.
No, it's because I hate the environment. There's a difference.
There you go. Send all mail to Jonathan Oakes at trivialwarfare@gmail.com.
By the way, those Don Cheadle spoofs, that is...
Oh, it was so funny.
It's so funny.
Yeah, I believe it's on Funny or Die.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube. It's everywhere. It's
Matt, I'd just like to say funny. I blame you for that.
That's understandable. I will accept that. I will accept that blame.
Your next question is in music.
All right.
So these are, I'm going to read you some song lyrics. I want you to name the song. And I'll go slow so you can write it down.
Thank you.
Hey, kids. Shake it loose together. The spotlight's hitting something that's been known to change the weather. Want me to read it back?
Could you read it with the title and artist attached?
That would be a no.
Oh, darn.
But I will read it back. Hey, kids. Shake it loose together. The spotlight's hitting something that's been known to change the weather.
Wow.
I thought you guys would get this instantly.
Really?
The worst kind of
question.
Y'all
blew my mind when I did Enter Sandman last time. I didn't think that would be that easy. So.
Well, that's one song that we've all listened to 1,000 times.
It's kind of our demographic.
Good point. I guarantee you've heard this one a lot too, though.
That's what you thought about Avicii, but I've never heard that song.
Oh, I
can't help that you're antisocial.
I like music. I never heard that one.
What, Enter the Mac?
It only had over a billion views on YouTube. It's not like I was... No, it wasn't like Return of the Mac, like you said.
Yes, I was. That's what I was talking about, where we had like zero clue. At least I knew the answer. It was somewhere in there. I just missed it. This feels like Enter the Mac, where it's less like,
Return
of the Mac, excuse me, where he just knows this crazy song that he thinks everybody knows and nobody knows it.
No, it's a big song.
Okay, whatever, man. You thought Return of the Mac was a big song, too.
Chris is like extra bitter today. What'd y'all do to him?
God, did you fight with your wife before you came here? Oh, my gosh.
No. Got a nap in and everything. It's been a lovely day. Had to do yard work.
Oh, that must be it.
I got nothing.
Yeah, I can't even get a genre locked in.
Right.
The Hey Kids makes me think, are you ready, kids? From SpongeBob. That's what I'm thinking about right now.
I was thinking we were going to go Eminem right after that. And like, do you like violins? I can
got
do
it.
This.
Locked in. Carmella's locked in.
I mean, how do we feel about hints?
How does a spotlight change the freaking weather?
Hey, artistic license.
Do you guys need a hint or no?
I don't think that we're going to go anywhere without it, but I don't know that we need one. I mean, it might just be a question we miss.
Yeah, I agree with Jonathan. Nothing is coming to me. I'm kind of where Jonathan was saying just a minute ago. Genre's not coming to my head. I've tried to do it in 3 or 4 different styles in my head, and it's just nothing's coming to me. The only thing that's coming in my head right now is Eeyore going, oh, bother.
Another music question. That was more Snuffleupagus, though.
That was really good, though.
Yeah. Hi, bird.
You know what's so funny is that was in my head as well. But I agree with you. I can't. So,
just so we have an answer locked in. We're locked in.
Okay. A really wrong answer. But that's so funny, though.
All right, Matt. So when I hear it, I feel like it's 80s, like 70s or 80s. And I feel like it's like a Lionel Richie kind of vibe or like a Commodores kind of vibe. That's what I'm getting from it.
Brick house, shake the brick house loose together.
I don't think it's that.
That'd be a whole different song. Hard
pressed to mention another Commodore song.
That's just the general vibe, right? So does that? If you put that, like,
sure, I could get behind that. But
I was wondering, the spotlight's hitting something that's been known to change the weather. Is that a clue at all? Is there something about the song where if you could figure out what that spotlight's hitting, if that would be the answer?
I don't even know. What is something that has been known to change the weather?
Well, that's what I was asking a minute ago. You want the artist or the title of the song?
Title of the song.
Darn.
Making a guess is not reasonable.
Yeah, it's not even that guessable. All right. You want to go with...
I will happily defer to you.
All right. We're going to say Dancing on the Ceiling.
All right.
You start saying Lionel Richie who went all night long. We said Shake It Off.
Shake It Off and Dancing on the Ceiling. So what if I told you that my name was in the title of the song? Was part of the title of the song?
Is it just Ben by Michael Jackson?
No.
Bend Over? I don't know.
What if I told you it was a song from the 70s?
Nope.
Sorry, dude.
These are the first words in a song that goes like this. She's got electric boots, a mohair suit.
Oh,
you know,
my
I read
God.
It in a magazine. Oh.
Benny and the Jets?
Come on, everybody. Benny and the Jets.
Wow.
Benny and the Jets.
Hey, kids, shake it loose together. Spotlight's hitting something that's been known to change the weather.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
wow.
My God.
All right, well done, Ben. All right, that's take it all back. Well
the
done.
Hey,
I
kids.
I told you it was a big song.
You're right.
The hey, kids part was separate from the rest of the line. I was putting them together. It stood alone. Oh, it was in the right years, too. Darn it. Ah. Oh.
Dang it.
You were close, though.
I like Elton John, too. Darn it.
All right.
That was good. That was good.
Thank you.
Artistic license.
It wasn't Return of the Mac.
No hate.
No, it was not.
All right. Your last question this round is in the category of science.
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 That was weak.
Come on, man.
Boo earns. All right.
Like, no, wait. We have to wait until Matt does it properly, please. Come on.
Science.
There we go.
Right. Hoopa.
Okay. Halite, H-A-L-I-T-E, is the mineral name for what compound? I will accept either the chemical name, the compound name, or the common name for this mineral.
Ooh. Matt's giving me a thumbs up like he knows what this is. Teamwork makes a dream work.
So does that mean you guys are locking in?
No. I would like to discuss it because I have a couple. I know I'm on the right track, Jonathan.
Okay. So no, we're not locking in. Thanks for getting Benny and the Jets stuck in my head.
For real, I was thinking
song's infectious, dude.
All right.
That's what you're thinking.
We're locked in with our wrong answer.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Matt, you said you gave me the big thumbs up. It's like you got some thoughts to share.
Right. So I'm pretty confident that halide is some sort of salt or sodium is what I think the answer is going to be.
Okay.
When we think mineral, do you think like sodium chloride, like table salt, or do we just go sodium?
Ben, could you read it again, please?
Yes. Halite is the mineral name for what compound?
So sodium's not a compound, is it? That's an element, right?
Right. So that's why I was thinking like salt is probably maybe, I don't know. But sodium is also a mineral, but salt is also a mineral.
All right. So if sodium's an element, then I don't think we should name an element and call it a compound.
Right.
I think salt is a safer answer. So yeah, we can do that.
All right.
All right.
Lock in with salt.
We'll go salt.
I probably should have asked for the question to be repeated because I wrote down an element. I wrote calcium.
So I would have accepted either sodium chloride or table salt. I will accept your answer.
Nice. Good job, Matt.
All right. At the end of the round, CC Peniston has 20 and Michael Jordan has 30.
CC Peniston.
I love CC Peniston.
She's I don't know who that is.
She's a family friend. She did, finally, like it has happened.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah, she's a family friend. Your third category begins with a question. I was told there would be no math.
Of course it does.
Okay. The equation A squared plus B squared equals C squared is part of a theorem named after what Greek philosopher?
Finally, a math question I can get right.
I was thinking the same thing for me.
Yeah.
All right, we're locked in.
All right.
Matt, do you think it's Pythagoras?
So I spend a lot of time in a geometry class every day that we have learned about Pythagoras and the Pythagorean theorem. So I will go with that.
All right, we're going to say Pythagoras.
All right.
Christopher, did I write Pythagoras?
You wrote Pythagoras.
Pythagoras.
Answer is Pythagoras.
And for the record, I said it right, too, which is kind of awesome.
That is awesome.
She's like, hype man? Did I say it right? You're right. Yeah, boy.
Thank you for being my favorite Flav.
I'll be your Hercules Mulligan.
Flavor Flav was the greatest hype man of all time, by the way. Just want to throw that out there.
And he had really big watches.
Nice. It's not really a watch if you wear it around your neck, is it?
It's definitely a clock. And it didn't always work. All right. So your second question is in the category of U.S. presidents. Which president was the youngest ever to take office?
We're locked in.
Okay. Kennedy is the one that comes to mind, right? Kennedy.
So Kennedy was definitely the youngest elected. I'm wondering, I'm not sure if there's a trick that maybe one of the ones who like ascended to the office was younger. I don't think so.
Okay, so you got Fillmore, you got Johnson, you got Chester Arthur, you got Roosevelt. I mean, yeah, you got Roosevelt, and you got Truman, and you got LBJ.
Ford, too, right?
And Ford. I don't feel like any of those were younger than Kennedy.
Yeah, so just checking on that, because I had Kennedy written down as well.
All right, so you want to go Kennedy? Yep. No, Obama wasn't younger than him, was he?
No.
Okay. Kennedy.
All right.
All right, actually, repeat the question real quick. We're locked in, but there's a...
Which president was the youngest ever to take office?
Okay, I think we're wrong. I really do. Because Kennedy was the youngest elected. But I think now that I hear back that question, I think the answer is Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt, I believe, was 39 or 40 when he took office. So I'm pretty sure we're wrong now, unfortunately, and I'm sorry about that. So our answer was JFK.
Yeah, we wrote down JFK.
All right, so you're correct in that Kennedy was the youngest elected, however, at 43. However, Teddy Roosevelt was 42 when he took office after Kennedy was assassinated.
I'm sorry, Carmella. That
no, it's fine. I wrote JFK.
That's on me. I did not hear the question at all. I knew that stupid answer. I was wrong with the age, but I knew that stupid
answer. The answer's not stupid.
It was a stupid answer because I messed up.
Gosh, we got Grumpy Cat in the house today. Jeez.
All right, so we both missed that one.
All right. Your last category in the round is in sports.
Sports!
During the 1988 and 1989 NBA Finals, what did Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas do at midcourt before each game?
You want to go with that?
Yep.
I mean, it's a shot in the dark. Everybody shot in the dark. All right, we're locked in.
All right.
You got any thoughts, Matt?
No. Isaiah Thomas was on the Pistons, wasn't he?
Yes.
And then
Magic was a Laker.
So did they do this together, like shaking hands, or did they just do the same thing separately? Did the Lakers play the Pistons?
Yes, in the finals.
In the finals.
So I remember Isaiah had a controversy about a racist controversy thing between him and Larry Bird, and I don't know if that was the right year for it, but that would have come before that. I mean, maybe they took shots. Like, they each took a half-court shot. Maybe they shook hands. Maybe they didn't trade jerseys. Maybe they prayed together. Or
that came into my mind, too, or, like, paid tribute to somebody up in heaven.
Read the question one more time, Ben.
During the 1988 and 1989 NBA Finals, What did Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas do at midcourt before each game?
It seems too benign to say shook hands.
I agree. Especially, like, if they're team captains, then, like, I feel like everybody does that. That's pretty not special at all.
Right. I don't think it would have been... I mean, they wouldn't do anything bad.
No, not in every game.
Right.
Was Isaiah Thomas was, like, the bad boy that everybody didn't like, right? Was that that Pistons team?
Or it was that Pistons team. He wasn't the bad boy, but, I mean...
They had a lot of them.
Yeah, exactly. I honestly don't think it's going to be anything negative. I think pray might be a good answer.
Seems plausible.
All right, we're going to say pray together.
All right.
All right, I had some fast writing, because I wrote down pray first, and then I asked Carmelo, I was like, when did Magic announce that he had AIDS?
He doesn't have AIDS, by the way, he has HIV.
I'm sorry, you're right, thank you. I appreciate it. So, when did he announce for having HIV? And I think it was 91 or 92, actually. I'm not 100% sure when it was. I can't remember the news conference. We wrote, our final answer was hug.
They hugged.
Brothers don't shake hands. Brothers got a hug.
So Magic and Isaiah were best friends at the time. And during the finals, because they didn't really want to associate with each other because of the enormity of the game, they would come to midcourt between each game and kiss. They would kiss each other on the cheek before each game.
Oh.
Well, we were close.
Brothers got to do more than hug, apparently.
They would exchange kisses at midcourt before each game.
Okay.
Basically to say, hey, friend, I'm going to hate you for the next 48 minutes, but we're going to exchange a kiss for our friendship before the game starts.
Matt, I sorry I didn't help you there. That was was not happening.
Was it a European kiss?
I needed
kiss?
You on sports.
Was it in the mouth?
It was like cheek to cheek, and they would blow kisses like that. So he's kissing that way, and the other guy's kissing
Okay.
That way. It wasn't like, you know, tonsil hockey or anything like that.
That wasn't a sports question. That was a PDA question.
Sports well,
I mean,
and PDA
foot massage before the game came into my mind, too.
All right, I'm just double checking, make sure I got the score right. So I have 40-30 in Jonathan and Matt's favor. All right, and your midpoint question is in science.
Science.
I like his answer.
He's a rebel without a cause.
All right. DNA molecules consist of a double helix shape connected by base pairs. For 5 points each, name the four bases that create those pairs.
Got them all, Jonathan.
Oh, you got them all? Dang!
We have to give the full names of them, right?
Yes.
So does that mean you guys are locking in?
I got them written down.
All right, yeah, we'll lock in.
Carmelo, why don't you go ahead and talk it out? Because I got a feeling it might help you.
It might help me. I'm trying to remember my genetics class.
For the record, Chris has not taken any genetics classes. And as a matter of fact, I think 10th grade Earth Space Science was my last science class.
Wow.
Yep.
Was I born yet?
It was...
Don't.
89?
Yes.
So how old were you at 89?
Two?
Yeah.
She was in diapers.
I'm trying to remember what they start with. Because I know L. Pretty sure there's a U. C. So I think like the L is like leucine or something like that.
UCLA? You had an L, a U, and a C. It's filling in the gaps.
If looks could kill, you'd be barbecue right now. Don't focus on him. Focus on the answer. You got this.
I think leucine is not right, but I think that's the only thing I can actually think of.
Okay.
Leucine, and I'll say euthane. Leucine and euthane. That's what I got.
All right, Matt. What do we got? Right,
so it happens to be that I teach a biology class where we happen to be studying deoxyribonucleic acid right now. So I know that these four are adenine, thymine, guanine, and cytosine. Mm.
So I wasn't right at all.
I wouldn't have been either.
I know all those words, though, that he said.
I know none
sounded
of
like
those
vitamins.
Words. I know none of those words.
Cytosine, I should have known.
All right, your correct answers are adenine, cytosine, guanine, and thymine.
Is that what you said?
That's what I said.
That is what he said.
Awesome. I couldn't even hear.
So, going to the fourth round, Chris and Carmella have 30, and Matt and Jonathan have 60.
Nice. Truthfully, Matt has like 50 by himself. Let's be honest. All right, guys, that's the end of the first half. We're going to be back with the second half right after this message. And I got to tell you, I am pumped to introduce you to a new sponsor of the show today. It is HelloFresh. They are an awesome meal kit delivery service. And how do I know that it's awesome? because I've tried it. And you know what? It is awesome. I need to insert the Miz there. It's awesome. Seriously though, I was a little bit worried about the delivery. I'm in an apartment. I didn't know if they were going to leave it at the clubhouse. I was worried about the food getting hot. Truth is, I was wasting my time worrying. You get to tell them specifically where you want it delivered, and you get to tell them on what day you want to get it. And the box that comes in is really freaking cool. I opened it up, and inside of this big box that comes, there's these three smaller boxes, and they're labeled with what the meals are. So one of the boxes was honey Dijon glazed salmon. One of the boxes was an Italian meatloaf. And when I pulled them out and opened them, I could see that each of those smaller boxes had all the different ingredients and herbs that I was going to need to cook the food. Now, I said herbs, and I didn't say spices. There were fresh herbs in there. There was rosemary, and there were garlic cloves. And so there was no spices. It was all fresh. And the food that came in those boxes was already measured. It was portioned. It was exactly what I was going to need to cook. So if it said you need 6 ounces of green beans, what I got in that box was exactly 6 ounces of green beans. So that was really easy. And when I dug deeper into the box, there was a layer of this frozen gel pack stuff that you pick up. And underneath there is all the proteins where they are still cold, and they can stay cold for a while outside, even if you're not home. So they'll be fine for when you get home, and they're not frozen. They're fresh. They're just cold. So that's cool. I took pictures of it so you can see the picture of the box and what comes in the box. And even some of the breakdown of, I laid it out for you, and then I showed you some of my cooking. So you guys get to see how I did. Go over to trivialwarfare.com, navigate to show stuff, and then click the HelloFresh link, and that's where all of those pictures will be. Now, truth be told, I'm not much of a cook. I know you're shocked, but the instructions were really good. They're set up for you to get in and out in 30 minutes, which that's not too bad. And before long, and I mean literally, I'm sitting here picking the rosemary off of the little stem, and I'm mincing the garlic, and I'm mashing the bread and the herbs and the beef together, and I'm making a homemade meatloaf. I made homemade mashed potatoes, guys, and I pan-seared chicken breast. It was like being on Top Chef. I'm not kidding. It was so cool. It wasn't intimidating. I just followed the instructions, and I'm sitting here cooking legitimate food. And it was really fun. Let me tell you my two favorite things about HelloFresh. First, when I started cooking this, I started to realize not only is this not that bad, I can do it. But, you know, the recipe, it's on sturdy paper, and it's built so you can tear it out and keep it for the future. So now, if I want to do this again, if I want that exact same meal again, I have what I need. I know what to buy. I know how to do it, and I've done it before. It's a skill that I've added, and now I'm going to be able to use it later when I want to. And I got to be honest, that was really cool. I mean, like the skill of making homemade mashed potatoes, that's cool. The other thing that made me really happy, and I mean really happy, is that I was able to cook a legitimately well-balanced meal for me and Sebastian. They have a dietitian who deals with all the details when they're putting the meals together, but you can really tell yourself that it's healthy because you're using fresh green beans, you're using a sweet potato that you cut up yourself, and you know how you're cooking it. I really felt good about putting this food in front of Sebastian. It's not like a fast food meal at all. It's a real meal. So here's the nitty gritty. The cost of the box is less than $10 per meal before taxes. And you can get $35 off of your first week by heading over to HelloFresh.com and using the promo code TWA. That's in all caps, TWA. You can choose the classic box, which is the one that I got with the chicken and the meatloaf, or you can get the veggie box if you're interested in a vegetarian option. That's right. They have a vegetarian option. So that's freaking cool. I hope you guys go check it out. I was really impressed by how easy they made it. And I didn't expect it to be fun, but I've got to be honest, when you open the box, there's a little bit of magic in that. It was like, it was a hint of Christmas. You open it and you don't know what's in there. And you're like, oh my gosh, look at this. This is going to be so cool. So remember, it is HelloFresh.com and use the promo code TWA in all caps. All right, guys, back to the game.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Your fourth round. Your category name is Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's that awesome, he deserves his own category name.
The most badass of categories.
Yes. All right. Samuel Jackson's depiction of Gator, a crack addict, served as a catharsis for his real-life recovery from cocaine. In what Spike Lee joint did Gator appear?
Crap.
I have a guess.
Just going to start writing down some Spike Lee movies. It's a surprisingly short list.
Not all that surprising. You don't know very many movies.
I really don't.
Mine is a list of one, so.
It's probably the same one I wrote
down. I
don't
really know if that's a list.
You know how I feel right now? It's like when I watch Jeopardy and they have like a Black History category and everybody bombs like 3 out of the 5 questions in the category.
Yes.
Like, this is horrible,
watch
man.
The SNL Black Jeopardy.
Yes. Oh, man.
It's so great.
You good with that?
Yeah.
All right, we're locked in.
All right, what's the one on your list, Matt?
Do the Right Thing.
I had Boys in the Hood.
Oh. So I know Do the Right Thing is about like a like affluent suburb where I think it's like Black people are trying to like make it and it's weird because of the culture clash. That's all I really know about it. So okay. I don't know if there'd be a addict of any kind in that.
I wish I knew more.
Boys in the Hood sound like it's about Boys in the Hood.
Might not even be Spike Lee. It might be John Singleton or something like that.
I do know this is Spike Lee.
Well, then let's go with yours.
All right.
We'll say
so I guess we'll lock in with Do the Right Thing.
Yep.
Well, Boys in the Hood was John Singleton. So,
hey!
Good thing we didn't do that.
Look at me with that. Look at me with my knowledge of movies.
See, Carmella, he knows one. Anyway, we wrote Do the Right Thing.
When Do the Right Thing, I believe it was Sam Jackson that played the DJ in that movie. He played Gator in the movie Jungle Fever.
Oh.
Starring Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
Jungle Fever. Of course.
And Stevie Wonder was on the soundtrack.
That's that song by The Time, right?
Morris Day?
No, that's Jungle Love.
That's Steve Miller Band.
No, Stevie Wonder did have a song called Jungle Fever from the
He's
song.
He's got Jungle Fever. She's got Jungle Fever.
It's interracial dating is what Jungle Fever is.
We knew that part.
Oh, I didn't know if y'all knew or not.
Dang it.
Point that out.
How do I forget about Jungle Fever? Man.
Yeah, so let's equate it to an illness.
I do have
a... That makes a lot of sense.
It is a pretty... It is
Spike Lee didn't invent the term.
I know he didn't invent the term. And he was taking the term back. I get that. But...
Well, it did have a negative connotation until the 80s. All right. Your second question in the round is in music. I'm going to give you some more song lyrics.
Dang, Ben!
What?
Why are you so mean to us?
That needs to be a sound bite without a shadow of doubt.
All right.
That needs to be Ben's ringtone.
Why you gotta be so mean? All right, here we go. You got the kind of loving that can be so smooth. Give me your heart. Make it real. Or else forget about it.
Forget about it.
Forget about it.
We're locked in.
Oh, you really?
Oh, both of us are.
Wow, it's amazing.
I think we wrote the answer at the same exact time.
I think I can sing this song if you can come up with it, or do you know it?
I don't know it. If you can sing it, it'll help me try and help you.
Like, you got the kind of loving that can be so smooth. Give me your heart, make it real, or else forget about it.
That's Smooth by Santana and Rob Thomas.
Rob Thomas.
So we're going to name the song?
Name the song.
We're going to say Smooth.
All right.
We said smooth also.
Give me your heart and make it real, or else we'll get about it.
Good job, Matt.
I was nowhere close to that answer, but you gave me the tune, and that was magic. Magic.
That's how teamwork operates.
That's right. Yep.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
Mm. Good job.
John doesn't have a lot of teammates anymore.
Are you kidding? I'd have like 20 points in this game without a teammate.
All right. Your last question in the round is in geography.
All right.
You mean geography?
No, I mean geography.
Oh, okay.
That's right. You let the geography. Come on. Man. You know how we do.
Jeez. All right. What Canadian city is also known as the City of Saints? Shout out all our Canada listeners who are probably screaming the answer right now.
Just going to guess that it's not Mississauga.
I like that answer. Because there's something in my head that kind of matches up the two. I'm not really sure what it is.
It's what I got.
No, I really like that answer a lot.
All right, you want to circle it?
Yeah, go ahead and circle it. Lock in.
All right. What you know, Matt?
Nothing.
Excellent, Smithers.
Five Canadian cities written down.
Which ones do you have?
Montreal, Quebec, Toronto, Vancouver, and Regina.
I'll add... Yes, Quebec City, you said Medicine Hat.
What?
Medicine
Hat.
Head
up.
No, that's legit, man. That's in Saskatchewan. Ottawa.
Also, apologies to all the listeners in Medicine Hat.
No, Medicine Hat's a good city. Good times. Winnipeg. Honestly, though.
Hockey teams.
Yeah, I was thinking hockey teams, too. Honestly, I think it's going to end up either being Quebec City or Montreal.
See, and I put Vancouver up there with it. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I think it might have being kind of a little bit, not racist, but the French, they love their saints. I was thinking it's got to be something that would involve the French-speaking areas like Quebec.
Right. So Montreal and Quebec City are both in Quebec. Vancouver. Right.
Vancouver's
is
way over in British Columbia. But
exactly. It's British
name,
Columbia. No, it's British Columbia.
Did I say French Columbia? I meant British Columbia.
No, but that's what I'm saying, though, is they're probably not speaking French in British Columbia.
Fair enough.
So I was with you on the French part, which would leave us in Quebec with either Quebec City or Montreal.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of any sports teams or anything from those towns that have a connection to Saints, but you got like...
Oh, that's a good
Montreal
thought.
Montreal Canadiens, the Montreal Expos, Quebec Nordiques, Quebec... What else? Nothing.
Are there any Canadian sports teams that you can think of that are somebody Saint? Saints?
No.
Huh. If I was playing alone, I'd say Montreal.
I'm fine with saying that. I don't have any valid reason to say anything else over that.
Okay. We'll go Montreal.
All right.
Okay. Carmela wrote Montreal, and the reason why I agreed with it is that for some reason there's, if you know the New Orleans Saints, they have the emblem on the side of their head that has the Saint emblem. I don't know.
Fleur-de-lis.
Thank you. For some reason or another, there's like a, like, I want to say it was like a minor league baseball team or something up there. I mean, after the Royals and before the Expos came around, that had the Fleur-de-Lis as their symbol on it. And so when you said that, I was just like, holy crap, that's right. And so that's why I agreed with you on that.
And I hope it's right, because I said Montreal.
It's like the Alouettes or something like that.
Montreal
Alouettes. Oh, that's
Yeah, that's the Canadian football team.
The Canadian football team?
Yeah.
All right. Correct answer is Montreal.
All right.
Yay, I got it.
Good job.
Nice work.
All right, that was the end of the fourth round, and Matt and Jonathan still lead 80-50.
Wow.
All right, fifth round begins with a question in literature.
Literature?
Literature.
The E.Z. Rollins mystery series, including Devil in a Blue Dress, White Butterfly, and Little Green, were written by what author?
That is not on the bookshelf behind me.
Mm-mm. You should, dude, I'm surrounded by books. None of that there. None of it. E.Z. Rollins?
They're
E.Z.
mysteries, Rollins. You said?
Yes.
I've never heard of E.Z. Rollins. I've heard of Seth Rollins. I've heard of E.Z. Rider.
E.Z. Bake.
Mm-hmm.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
That's right. I've heard of that.
Not this question.
Sadly, I've never heard of E.Z. Money.
E.Z. Lover.
What stinks is I've heard of the books. I've heard of all three of the books. And the
I know I've heard of Devil in a Blue Dress.
Yeah. Oh, it was a movie.
Song, too.
Who sang the new song?
Not the person who wrote the book.
I know, but I'm curious. I'm sorry.
I can't remember.
Okay. Do you want to go with one of yours, or do you want to go with my wrong answer?
I'll go with your wrong answer. Okay. It's better than any of my wrong answers.
All right. Our wrong answer is locked in.
All right.
What's our wrong answer going to be, Jonathan?
Come on, Mr. Literature.
This is not the kind of literature that I am get behind.
It feels like it might have ties to New Orleans.
New Orleans, you
yes.
say.
Easy Rollins is a very Nolans kind of name for me.
Sure. I could see that.
So what kind of author, and it feels, no, I wouldn't say children's lit. I would say regular lit.
Young adult, like those vampire ones also in New Orleans?
Yeah, I was thinking Anne Rice has ties to New Orleans, and that's better than nothing, but are
that
there...
That wasn't the vampire one I was thinking of. I was
what are you truth. Thinking of?
True Blood is in New Orleans, I'm pretty sure.
True Blood. Who writes that?
Yes.
Exactly. So I can't help you there.
The are only there- thing that came into my mind, I did not make that same connection, was that maybe this is like, Sue Grafton is the one who does the like letter books, right?
I thought that was Patterson. Like,
I don't think so. Where it's like A is for this, B is for this.
Yeah.
I thought that was Sue Grafton.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
But then I thought maybe she had like another series after she finished those where she did Colors.
Colors.
Blue dress, white butterfly.
If we could think of somebody who had ties to New Orleans, I'm pretty sure it's not Anne Rice, frankly. But if we could think of anybody else who has ties to New Orleans who's a writer, then I would go with it. Because, I mean, it does really feel like it's in that vicinity.
Sure. But I don't know.
Nothing. All right, you want to just go Anne Rice?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll go Anne Rice.
Sue Grafton did do the letter books, by the way.
Oh, cool.
So. Yeah. I really feel like it was an African-American author because Easy Rollins, I mean, was an African-American lead throughout. And I'm just, it frustrates me because I've seen the books. I've seen them on the, I mean, and it's just one of those things where it's like, and like I said, Denzel played him in Devil in a Blue Dress when that movie came out a number of years ago. And I'm just very frustrated with myself because I didn't think of it. But Carmella agreed with my wrong answer of Theodora Weldy.
All right. And the correct answer is... Walter Mosley.
I've never heard of Walter Mosley. Have you? No.
The name's not coming to me at all.
He wrote Devil in a Blue Dress, White Butterfly, and many other books.
Does he have anything to do with New Orleans?
I think it is based in South New Orleans area.
Well, that would make me feel better.
Okay. You're close.
There you go.
Yes.
Sorry, Matt.
Nope. Never heard of that person either.
Ben, have you read the series?
Is it good?
I've read a couple of the books. They're very good.
Hmm.
I just remember my mom... introducing the books to me because my mom is a very Afrocentric person.
Sure.
And I remember her saying something like, this is one of Bill Clinton's favorite authors. He was president at the time. She said, this is one of his favorite authors. And so she introduced me to the book. So I read a couple of them as a result.
Cool.
All right. Your second question in the round is in movies. In the last scene of Furious 7, Paul Walker's character is seen driving away in a white vehicle as an allegory to his real-life death. What make and model was that car?
Goodness gracious.
Wow, he brought the thunder, dude. That is... I mean, I know the scene. I've seen the scene because I've seen the movie. You know, I think I should... Yeah, I think that... Go with that. I mean, because that kind of... There's at least some sense to that, you know? All right, we're locked in.
All right. Matt, have you seen the movie?
Nope. But my first thought was, what car was he killed in? Because that's probably what it was. And I was like, maybe it was a Chevy Camaro or a Ford Mustang or something else cool and fast.
So the only thing that I was thinking in my limited, limited, limited knowledge of these movies, which I've never seen any of these at all for even 1 minute, is I think they're about cars. So, well, I know that sounds funny.
I thought it
funny.
Was about BMX racing.
Right, but so...
It was more
I
funny
think,
the way you said it, Jonathan. So just, they're about cars. Okay, I'm good, thanks.
I think it's about fancy cars, right?
It's about fast cars. And they're also sometimes furious.
So that's Lightning McQueen in a nutshell, right?
I mean, yeah, basically.
So I'm trying to think of... iconic cars. I don't think it's going to be a Pontiac Aztec. You know what I'm saying? So
That's Walter White's car.
Exactly.
So it is an iconic car.
What about a Shelby? What's the Shelby?
That's a Mustang.
A Shelby, is there a special name for it? Is it a Cobra?
Shelby is just like a Shelby Cobra is like a converted Mustang.
Right. So it could be like that or like an Aston Martin.
That's no, they're not good. They're not foreign. They're almost all like muscle.
They're muscle
except
cars.
For like Tokyo Drift, because that was about like Asian souped up cars.
Okay. What kind of muscle cars, beyond your factory stuff, what kind of muscle cars might fit the bill?
I mean, if you're going beyond factory, Shelby Cobra would be the go-to answer. And then factory stock stuff would be like the Camaro and the Mustang or Charger, but probably not that.
Yeah, I have a hard time thinking that it would be just a generic stock car.
Well, when we're talking make and model, it's just a generic stock car that they souped up and made faster.
And furiouser.
They added angry eyebrows in front of the headlights.
Well, absolutely. Who wouldn't?
I'm comfortable going Shelby Cobra. I'm comfortable going Camaro or Mustang.
We'll just go Shelby Cobra.
All right.
Cobra!
So I originally wrote down like a Porsche 911 or a 918, but pretty sure that's what he was killed in. And so I was looking at Chris. I'm like, that'd be really, in really poor taste to put him in the car that he was killed in. So I wrote down what he drove in the first one, which was a Nissan Skyline.
All right. The vehicle that he rode away in the sunset in was a Toyota Supra.
So it was standard.
I think he
car.
Also drove one of those in the first movie.
He did drive Skylines. That was one of his signature cars in the series.
Yeah. So, hey, at least I got a signature car, man.
There you go.
Wow. 10 points for Ben.
Seriously. I'm speechless. Yeah. It was a Supra. I don't even know what a Supra looks like.
Looks like that car that drove away.
You know, I need to watch the movie so I can see this car.
All right. Your last question in the round is in TV. Dancing with the Stars judge Carrie Ann Inaba recently became engaged to Rob Derringer, who, as of December 2016, stars on what soap opera?
Bruh.
I got so excited when I heard TV. I was like, okay, this is a way of catching up. And then it's a freaking soap opera question, which I know we do not do a whole lot of, but there's a reason for it. I can't answer.
Just because you don't know the answer does not make it a defective question.
I'm not saying it's a defective question.
Hey,
I'm just saying the reason
you're
why we
stealing
don't
my
one.
Role. That's my job.
I'm sorry, Jonathan. You're right. My apologies. Yeah, exactly.
Matt's over here like, dude, I hope you, and he knows, you know, I don't know Jack about TV. I know this lady. I know her face.
I don't.
I know your face.
I assume she has something to do with dancing.
All right. We're circled and locked in with our Pray to God answer.
Okay.
Pray to God.
So I have a secret. I'm actually a big soap opera fan.
Excellent.
That's totally not true. I can't believe you believe that.
Fool you.
Not true because it's not a secret?
No, it's just not true. You really should know better than that.
He likes to watch his stories.
That's right. I watch my stories.
Shut up about the stories.
So what was the dude's name again? Rob?
Yeah, read the whole question for us
Rob
again.
Derringer.
Rob Derringer. That's all I...
Ty Dillinger.
Rick no. Derringer.
Rick Springfield.
They call me Bruce.
Can name some soap operas
I'm
that
Rick
are
James.
Still on. Days of Our Lives.
Yeah, I mean, we're just randomly picking a soap opera, right?
I mean, Days of Our Lives is still on. Because there's a lot of them that got, like, canceled, I feel like. Like, I don't know if the old, like, General Hospital and all of them are still on.
General Hospital is still on.
And then there's Bold and the Beautiful and Young and the Restless. I think one of them is still
Guiding
on.
Guiding Light.
Price is Right.
No, that one's old. That one's not on anymore.
No, it's not. Hey, you want to throw a dart?
Yeah, which one?
General Hospital.
All right.
Let's do it. We'll say General Hospital.
Yeah, I wrote down General Hospital, Young and the Restless, Days of Our Lives, and The Bold and the Beautiful, and we circled as our hope to God answer The Young and the Restless.
So interesting, and the reason why I had to put the date is that Rob Derringer actually was a recurring character on General Hospital until 2015.
That's why we thought that.
No, it's not.
He now stars on Days of Our Lives.
Oh! the most generic granddaddy soap opera that I would sound like the soap opera. Ugh. Ugh.
My heart hurts. It just hurts. We cannot catch up at all right now, and this frustrates me. All
right, so end of the fifth round. Scores exactly the same as it was in the fourth round.
Yes.
Was it really?
80-50.
Except Ben's got 30 points in that round.
All right. Your final round, first question is in technology.
All right. I got Carmella. What up?
Android recently released version 7.0 of its mobile operating system, also known as what code name?
Yeah, they're locked in.
No, we're not locked in.
Really?
So I would like to point out that Chris and I are both iPhone users. Yep. Jonathan's an Android user.
I didn't know that when this question was written.
No, I'm not a techie like that either.
When was it released again?
I didn't give a date. Okay. I just said recently.
He didn't give a damn either.
That would be awesome, though. I would have to probably buy an Android just for that. Yeah, let's just go ahead and go with that, because I know without a shadow of a doubt that's one of them.
Okay.
We're locked in.
All right. So, Matt, I think we both know that these versions are named after candies.
Or just any sweets in general.
Sweets
some
in
of
general.
Them are baked goods.
And I know a little while back it was marshmallow. I know that they've moved past marshmallow.
Yep.
If they're on in, it's nougat.
I don't know.
If they're on in, it's nougat. I was just seeing that the other day.
Are they done alphabetically like that?
Yes. Like they they went from Kit Kat.
Okay, that was what I wrote down.
No, yeah, they're past Kit Kat.
All right, so then nougat sounds very reasonable.
And if they're at N, it's nougat. I don't know if they're at O. And if it was at O, I wouldn't know what it would be. It'd be a straight guess. So I think we should go nougat.
Okay.
We'll go nougat. All right. Yeah.
So Chris and I, he's like, here's the previous ones, like jelly bean, Kit Kat, marshmallow.
Yeah, it was
didn't
ice
know if
cream.
They got to N. So I'm sitting there writing like Nutter Butter, like Nutella.
That would have been awesome.
Necco wafer, which my aunt loves the chocolate Necco wafers. Every time we're in North Carolina, I have to pick some up.
But we didn't know if they were at N, so we just went with marshmallow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Correct answer is nougat.
Dang. Woo!
Way to go, Jonathan.
All right. We got one.
All right.
I would hope you would get that one, though. Seriously.
I don't want to pay attention to upgrades. In fact, you know why I read it? You know how I found it?
I know we're on iOS 10.2.
My battery was draining, and when I went to go look for reasons my battery might be draining, I noticed that they were on version nougat. It was in the specs. That's the only reason I had that in my head.
Okay. Your next question is in the category of space.
Space!
All right. Within one... How many moons does Venus have?
We're locked in.
All right.
Matt, I don't think it has any.
I think Mercury and Venus are the only two that don't have any.
I agree with you.
I wrote zero.
I'm thinking zero, so we're going to go zero.
All right.
Well, we get within one, so maybe we could have gone one.
Oh, we get within one?
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's definitely go one.
You just said you're going with zero. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know it was within one.
Well, that's what you get for not listening.
Amen. Well, we're going with one.
All right.
We said zero.
Correct answer is zero.
I'll take it.
I'm taking the moral win on that one.
Good job.
She'd rather be right, so what up? But way to try to tomfoolery us there, mister.
Yeah, Mr. Tomfoolery. Tomfoolery shenanigans there. Young.
That's Ben.
Gave us within one, so it must be around 8 to 9.
Game theory.
No. See, remember, you got to multiply it by 10. So 1 times 10 is...
According to Lee,
no, that's 10. Oops.
Nice. Wow. Wow. And whoa.
Okay. Your last question before the final question is in sports scandals. All right. Prostitutes were hired to lure basketball recruits. Football coaches received proprietary information about an opponent's game plan. These scandals dominated this year's headlines at what university?
I'm good. 100% locked in.
Do you agree with him, Carmella?
I don't know shit about this.
What was Spaceballs?
We found shit. Comb the desert. All right. Hey, Matt, is it Louisville?
No, I think it's Kentucky.
Okay, so hold up then.
Because I know Wake Forest was the giving school.
Yeah, Wake Forest just gave it to Louisville. Louisville admitted it, and Virginia Tech admitted it. It's been on Mike and Mike all week.
So maybe I was just thinking Kentucky because of Louisville, but...
Because this is Bobby Petrino, and he was on their show, Mike and Mike, last week, like right when it broke, and they asked him about it, and he said, no, we prepare our game plans the right way, we wouldn't do that, blah, blah, blah. And then earlier this week, they released a statement saying, oh, by the way, yeah, we did receive something from Wake Forest. I don't know about the prostitutes at all.
Of course not. I've heard, but you've said that sentence a lot.
It is my standard defense.
Oh, that's so good. That's so rich.
That's good. I don't know anything.
That's the name of the show. There's the name of the show right
there. Yeah, let's not name the show. I've never heard of prostitutes. It's a family show.
The Jonathan defense. I don't know anything about that part, but I'm very confident that Wake Forest, there is Louisville, there is Virginia Tech, and the other speculative one is Army. And so everybody's waiting to find out if Army admits that. Based on their reputation, I would say Louisville.
All right.
All right, we'll say Louisville.
The offensive coordinator was suspended for their bowl game coming up, and it was Bobby Petrino, but Rick Pitino, that has been in a lot of hot water for his basketball team. The answer is Louisville.
Oh.
Correct answer is Louisville.
Nice.
He originally wrote Wake Forest.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, read the question.
Yeah. Because I heard the second part of the question, and I was just like, because you saw I wrote Louisville first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard the second part of the question, and I was just like, okay, because I knew about the scandal, but I was like, well, wait a second, though. I don't remember there being prostitutes in Wake Forest.
Right.
I mean, there's not much in Wake Forest anyway.
When I was there, they weren't there.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, there's like research.
They stay away
from
you like crazy, Jonathan.
At least I don't remember anything about prostitutes.
Well, his name does start with John.
That's the classic Jonathan. Hey!
But when you read the history of like that athletics program, like there is a long history of impropriety happening at that program going all the way back to... There was a scandal involving Pitino back in like earlier 2000s where he had an affair and tried to cover it up. And
are you talking about Pitino or Pitino?
Pitino. Rick
Pitino. That's right. Okay, because Pitino has been doing
Pitino,
weird.
Like...
Man, that's he a got confusing his... sports department.
You would think they'd stop hiring people named Pitino.
Yeah. Well, they keep one informed, so they don't care.
Pitino's, he's not a good guy at all. No. I'm surprised.
I remember how he left the Falcons in a lurch.
Yep. He left the Falcons in a lurch, and then he got fired from Arkansas because he hired his mistress and got into a motorcycle.
Oh, that was him?
Yeah.
Hey, Bobby Petrino, Trivial Warfare doesn't like you.
At all.
Just saying.
Don't listen to our show.
You're a bad dude.
And if you got a problem with that, send an email to twaliterature@gmail.com. And I will be sure to reply back to you.
Anybody else that likes Louisville, we still like you very much. So.
Yes. Okay. End of the sixth round. Going to the final question. Matt and Jonathan still lead 110-70.
All right.
All right. That's respectable.
So your final category name is Before They Were Protagonists. This is going to be a movies question. I'm going to ask you details about plots from three different movies.
All right, so we should do our wagers.
Yes, you may wager now.
Now or now?
Now.
Now?
Like right now.
That was then.
But no, right now.
Oh, dang. Might be too late.
We're locked in.
All right, our wager is locked in.
All right. So here are your three questions about Before They Were Protagonists. First question. In The Big Lebowski, the soiling of what home furnishing motivates the dude to confront his namesake?
One of my top three least favorite movies of all time, by the way. Oh, I'm not sure what the other two are, but totally hate it.
He cannot be teammates anymore. I'm sorry.
So as soon as we're done, you can join team whatever.
Clarification about the category. Is this what sets them off on whatever journey they're going on in the movie?
All three of these questions are details about the movie that happens before the climax of the movie.
Okay. So that's what he means before they were protagonists. This is what sets them off.
Okay.
All right. Second question. In the movie Pretty Woman, How much money does Edward agree to pay Vivian to spend the week with him before they fall in love? All right. In the movie Rocky, what was Rocky Balboa's profession prior to becoming a full-time boxer?
Yes, well, yes.
Exactly right. All right, gentlemen. We're locked in.
Okay. Matt, you sound confident like you know Big Lebowski. Is it a sofa?
No, it's definitely a rug.
Okay, a rug.
Really pulled the room together.
I'm glad you knew that. Okay, good. So, rug. Any idea on Pretty Woman?
I mean, like, it's 1980s money, so...
I felt like it was like $500 a day or something like that.
I thought it was, I don't know. I wrote $10,000, but I've never even seen the movie.
I think that's too much. So, I remember...
Spent a week with an escort.
I remember, well, a prostitute.
And you don't know anything about those prostitutes.
I feel like... It was a number where she was like, this is an I'm going to ask for an astronomical number, such and such per day. And she didn't think there was any way he'd agree to it. And then he's like, that's easy. Sure, no problem. Right? And I think it was like 500 a day or something like that. So I was leaning towards like $3,500.
Sure.
You've never seen it?
Nope.
Okay. So we'll go 3,500 and hope for the best. And then... the last one. I haven't seen Rocky in freaking 20 or 30 years, dude.
Guilty confession.
Never seen it? Damn it.
Something tells me, like, maybe it's a totally different... Oh, I know exactly what I'm thinking. I was thinking he was a welder, but that's like Dirty Dancing, isn't it, where she's a welder?
He could have been a construction worker. What? Why was he hitting the meat in those scenes? Was he like a was he like a butcher or a meat packer or something like that?
Maybe. I always thought that was just like a classic thing to do.
Yeah, well, where'd the room full of meat come from? That's why I wondered if it could be something like that.
Maybe,
but
he's got
a construction
buddy.
Worker seems more likely, though. It feels possible that it was construction worker. More than butcher.
Okay.
No idea.
I'm trying to think of anything. Like, where did he meet Adrian? She's like a prim and proper, like, educated gal. Like a museum worker or something. I don't know.
Maybe he ran
up the steps of the museum and that's where he met her.
Sounds like we're screwed. All right, let's do a rug, $3,500, and a construction worker.
All right, I'll take
it. Weirdest grocery list ever.
All right, so for the first one, we said rug, mm-hmm. and that was the one that we definitely agreed upon right off the bat. For Pretty Woman, there was a negotiation that was put involved, and so she said one number, he said another, and I think they settled on $4,000. So
not a clue.
Carmella's throwing her hands in the air. So
that was close. You should have given us within $10,000.
And then
within 10,000,
within one moon.
It's a space station. Anyway, and then Rocky, Jonathan, I'm in the same boat as you. I haven't seen Rocky in probably 15, 20 years. Easy. I've seen Rocky 3 a bunch of times. I've seen Rocky 4 a lot. I just saw probably what was the best movie of the bunch in Creed a few months ago. And by the way, if you haven't seen that movie's amazing and absolutely needs to be watched. I wrote down bartender and factory worker. And then Carmella was like, what about the meat?
Yep. I had that. Like, so, where did the, like, why was he punching the meat? So.
And then I think I remember him being in a white apron with blood on it and stuff like that. So we went ahead and went with butcher.
Oh, no.
So I don't know if I'm
don't
not sure.
Don't know if any of those are right.
Really,
except
it's going to fall down to the. It's really going to fall to the middle one because I'm not 100% sure about the money part. I really am kind of. I'm hoping for the best and expecting the worst.
I know in the Weird Al song, he was like a deli owner. Mm. It's the Rio, the Kaiser.
Wow. All right.
Rye bread is probably my favorite.
Roy. All right, Ben.
All right. The Big Lebowski, his bathroom rug got soiled. So rug was the correct answer there. And Pretty Woman, he's asking her how much for the whole week. And she's doing all this calculation. She's like, $4,000. He was like, I'll give you $2,000. And she says, $3,000. He says, done. So the correct answer there was $3,000.
Oh my God, look at the number I had next to $3,500 on my paper.
Yeah.
I had $3,000 and $3,500 written down.
I'm sorry, Carmella.
No. At least $4,000 was a number that was mentioned in the scene.
So this is very anticlimactic, but I'll go ahead and explain it anyway. So the reason why Rocky was punching the meat is because Paulie, his best friend, worked at the meat shop.
That's what it was. Okay.
But Rocky, before he became a boxer, was actually a mob enforcer and not a very good one because he was too kind-hearted, which is why he decided to take up boxing.
Really? I don't remember that at all.
I don't remember that at all either. Yep. Wow. All right.
So bathroom rug, $3,000, and mob enforcer are your answers.
Wow. Jonathan, you finally won one, dude.
I'm not taking much credit for this win. I want to deflect the glory, and I see the glory coming out of your eyes. I want to deflect that.
Well, my eyes are quite beautiful, so there's a lot of glory coming out of this.
There is no glory.
I want to deflect that and point it towards Matt, who was the outstanding partner of this duo and was by far the most accomplished player on our team. So what did you guys wager?
We wagered 41.
41.
To beat you by one if you bet zero.
We should have done 42.
We should have done 42.
Yeah, we should have done 42.
So what did you end with?
So that would be...
39.
39, yeah.
39, and...
You had
70.
No, so 29.
29, excuse me, okay.
Trying to cheat on us, Matt, right here.
I don't have an Excel spreadsheet.
You're trying to be a better loser.
Unacceptable.
Matt and I wagered 31 because we wanted to lock you out on top but not give up much on the bottom. So we finished with 79. The final score is 79-29. Matt and Jonathan, together again for the first time.
Meme awesome.
You know the meme where the guy's like throwing up rainbows at you? Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now.
That's graphic.
That sounds
when he said
so
throwing
appetizing.
Up, I thought you meant like with your hands.
Oh, no, I'm not raising my hands in the air like I just don't care.
I throw my hands up in the air sometimes. Sorry.
What were you saying, Matt?
She's just dynamite.
Deflect some of that glory back on Ben, too. Ben earned a lot of points this game. Excellent, a challenging set of questions.
Good job. All right. And hey, Matt, it was your first time on. Major Laird, thank you so much. You are our Warhead of the Week.
Woohoo!
Right. See, that's we what you get for you. Helping Jonathan finally win an episode after a while.
That's right. The darn right. Absolutely.
Darn rootin' tootin'.
And we have some business to talk about. So I'll keep this short and sweet. We just hit the $500 level, which is one of our goals on Patreon, which is where our TWA members go to sign up to donate money to the show. And so first of all, that's huge. $500 a month. Thank you guys
Thank you so much.
When I recorded the video that's out there and put the goals out there, they're kind of outdated. And I do a terrible job sending out the magnets and the letters and that stuff. I apologize. But I do want to give you guys a little bit of a sense of what that's allowing us to do. One of the biggest things that it's allowing us to do right now is to pay for an editor. And so I pay on a monthly basis to have somebody do the primary editing on the show. And I just come behind and clean up a little bit of stuff here and there. So that's a huge deal. There's other stuff that we spend money on, and frankly, I want to make a profit, and so some of that hopefully becomes profit. But one thing that we're going to start instituting as of today is moving forward, anybody on the team here who hosts the show is going to start getting $25 per show hosted.
What?
Woohoo! So, whoa. I know it's not a lot, and once we get up to a little bit of a higher number later, then that's going to go up, and hopefully where I want it to be is more like $50 a show. That's what my goal for that is. But for now, moving forward, 2017, you guys, whenever you're hosting a show, it's going to be $25 from the TWA listeners, basically, to you guys.
Awesome.
Wow. So I know I don't think people realize how much work you put in, but I mean, it's 2 to 4 hours worth of work to write a set of questions.
Oh, easy.
Or
easy.
If you're being, it's 8 to 10 hours because I'm not a good trivia player.
So... I wanted to put that out there for you, and I wanted to let the listeners know that that's one of the ways that money is being spent on their behalf. So thank you guys for all the work that you do.
Awesome.
All right, and we have some reviews to read.
Sweet.
Recently, I was on iTunes, and instead of picking the next reviews from our U.S. list, I decided to go country to country and find some of the reviews that have been left out there on other countries.
Really? I didn't know we had other ones in other countries. That's kind of cool.
iTunes breaks up their podcast by country. And so we have reviews in Australia, reviews in Israel, and reviews in England. So I read some of those last time, and I want to continue to do that. I have a couple from England I want to read. One is from Lexington, who says, I love this show. really relaxed and easygoing. As a British listener, I can't usually answer the American sport or president questions, but it doesn't put me off. It is a great listen. Thank you, Lexington. We appreciate you. And here's a big long one. So this is, I read this today and I was like, wow, this is a good review. It's pretty in-depth. So I'm going to read the whole thing.
Okay.
Okay. It says, a five-star pub quiz podcast by Hurricane Alley. Trivial Warfare is a five-star pub quiz podcast. I rarely get to go to the pub quiz now, but amazingly, listening to this is just like being in my regular team. The banter is cutting, genuine, and sometimes laugh out loud funny. Not good for my daily commute in the quiet carriage of the train. Jonathan, Chris, and Carmella are incredibly knowledgeable on a breadth of popular culture, and like any pub quiz, deficient in other areas.
Yeah, amen.
I find that their best ever episodes are when all participants are in teams, like the TW84 llama fight. From a British perspective, there are some very strong American accents here, but I find that I tune in very quickly. I thought that was an interesting statement. I didn't realize we have American accents, but
Well, we are American.
America! I didn't even realize it.
Does not surprise me one bit.
There's a real North American bias to the sports, which mean nothing to this Brit, even though I have been a fan of an NFL team ever since the sport reached UK television in the 80s. And then says, witness the British guest team who were stumped by the Michael Jordan logo question. If the American sports are the worst rounds, then the best ever rounds, and you'll find your own, I'm sure, are sometimes akin to the toughest British TV quiz only Connect. And the team's answers and deliberations are equally as impressive as in Only Connect. Congratulations to Jonathan, Chris, and Carmella, and to their army of donors and question setters, and especially the editors. Finally, Chris, if you ever make it across the pond, please look me up. I would love to take you around my home country, that is Wales, paradise on earth, of which you were unaware.
Man, nice. I will take you up on that offer. That
they have a
fabulous
dragon on their flag.
I realize that now. I'm starting to learn a little bit more.
Does that make it a flagging?
Oh, boy.
Anyway, oh,
but thank you very much for the amazing review. That's wonderful.
Yes, thank you.
I think that's fair. And truthfully, just for our overseas fans, because reading these reviews has kind of...
Opened your eyes a little bit.
And I get feedback, especially emails lately, from international listeners. And
sure.
That's one of the reasons why I've said, hey, let's cool it and do less sports questions. And we've talked in different ways about trying
big
to make the show as friendly as possible.
Big fan of that decision.
See, I'm on board with Matt.
It's not just that though. Obviously, like our history questions, I heard feedback from somebody the other day in an email who was saying, you know, the history questions from a UK perspective are kind of elementary school, but for Americans, it's much different.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting because we're Americans, we realize that we have to ask questions that will make it fun for us, for it to be an entertaining show. But we do need to make sure that we try and mix in things that are more broad as much as possible, less narrow and broader. And so I would just want the listeners who are international to know that that is something that we're actively trying to do. And so we really appreciate feedback that we get from you guys.
I'll kind of piggyback and say that I do not consider our international listeners as much when I write questions, but I will moving forward. It's an opportunity for me to grow and help make the show better and more entertaining for people who do not live here.
Yeah, I think for all of us. Mm-hmm. It's a growth opportunity for us.
Yep.
All right. That's all the reviews I want to read today, because that was a long one. I think that's going to wrap it up. Chris, you ready to get us out of here?
I am. All right, Matt, thank you very, very much. It's great to have you on. We really appreciate your time. Hope
my
you had
pleasure.
A little bit of fun.
I enjoyed it. Quite a bit.
All right, good win.
Yep.
Good win.
Yep, we didn't wager zero, though. We didn't wager zero.
We didn't need to.
That was my plan.
I think the true winner of the. I really do think the true winner of this episode was Ben Young. So, Ben, congratulations on a great win. We appreciate it. And seriously, great questions, man. We appreciate your time, especially as Jonathan said, they're not easy to write.
They're
and,
not.
We appreciate your time. So, Carmella, I will try to do better by you next time. Jonathan, it's another one for Jonathan.
No.
Win for Matt and Jonathan.
Yeah, I'm not taking the credit for that. That's more Matt than Jonathan.
All right. You've heard various email addresses throughout the show, so you could do that. If you have a Warm It Up Chris question, feel free to send it to warmitupchris@yahoo.com. Again, that's warmitupchris@yahoo.com. And Carmella,
It's twafirstlady@gmail.com.
All right. And until next time, that's Matt, that's Jonathan, that's Ben, that's Carmella, and I'm Chris. And this, my friends, is Trivia Warfare, where it's not just trivia. It's war. Take care, everybody.
Bye, guys.
See you.
Thank you for listening to Trivial Warfare. To learn more about the show and become a warhead yourself, visit TrivialWarfare.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or in any other good podcast app. And find us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Trivial Warfare. This episode edited and produced by me, Joel Sharpton. Find help with your podcast at JoelSharpton.com.
You know how many VGA connectors I can't hook up to because of that piece of crap computer?
It's not the computer's fault. Just get a dongle.
I don't want to walk around with a dongle.
Just put it in your bag.
Plus, then he has to tell people he's got a dongle.
I know, right? It's like, hold on, let me get my dongle out.
One of my colleagues gave me a dongle. It's got...
Whoa, babe, we don't need to hear this.
You should see a doctor about that.
Y'all laugh if I want. This is a badass dongle.
I'm talking about my dongle.
It's got a VGA, a DVI, and an HDMI port on it. Oh, and then nice. It just plugs into the port on my laptop.
I have that for
so
work.
I can plug it up to anything. Yeah.